जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत Quite a few verses. I hope I didn't get the page mixed up.
Yes.
Okay. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 14, Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastime. Reading from text 61 onwards. এই মতো চাপল্য সব লোকের দেখায় দুঃখ কারো মনে নহে সবে সুখ পায়। When this cunning behavior of the Lord with the girls became known to the people in general, it did not create misunderstandings among them. Rather, they enjoyed happiness in these dealings. একদিন বল্লভাচার্য কন্যা লক্ষ্মী নাম দেবতা পূজিতে আইল করি গঙ্গা স্নান। One day, a girl of the name Lakshmi, the daughter of Ballabhacharya, came to the bank of the Ganges to take bath in the river and worship the demigod. According to the Gaur-Ganadesh Deepika, Lakshmi was formerly Janaki, the wife of Lord Ramchandra, and Rukmini, the wife of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. The same goddess of fortune descended as Lakshmi to become the wife of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna himself. Krishna incarnates into various incarnations, and in the age of Kali, Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he appeared covering his identity. In other incarnations, when Krishna comes, everybody can recognize him. Especially general people, pious people can recognize him. Like when he came and as Lord Ramchandra, one could see that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Krishna came as Krishna, obviously everybody could see. From his childhood, he performed such wonderful pastimes that anybody could understand that he was the Supreme Personality of God. Like he killed Putana when he was only 3 days old. He killed Trinavarta when he was 1 month old. When he was 6 years old, he held Giri Govardhan. So in this way, people could actually recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, only the pious people. The impious people could not recognize him. It is impossible for an impious person to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he may see him with all his grandeur and opulence. Jaya Shisha. For example, Kamsa, when he heard that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and kept it holding for 7 days, Kamsa said, how is that possible? He must have picked a mushroom. He must have picked a mushroom, but these people are just exaggerating. When Kamsa heard that Krishna subdued Kaliya, he said, must be some water snake. Krishna subdued a water snake and these people are exaggerating. Although Kamsa was seeing that time and time again, Krishna was displaying his wonderful opulence. Although Kamsa saw that all his associates are being killed one after another by Krishna. Just a little baby, Krishna. Kamsa sent Putana to kill Krishna. And Krishna finished Putana off. Still Kamsa would not recognize. And Kamsa sent Trinavarta to kill Krishna. And these all are Kamsa's associates. These all associates of Kamsa had great mystic powers. They could do all kinds of wonderful things. They had great mystic powers. So that's what happens. Like the demons acquire mystic powers after performing great austerities to simply create disturbance to the Supreme Personality of God. All these associates of Krishna, all these associates of Kamsa performed great austerities and penances. And thus they acquired great mystic power. Like Trinavarta could transform himself into a whirlwind. Putana could transform herself into a very beautiful woman. So these are all the results of mystic power. But what they were doing with the mystic power? They're trying to kill Krishna. That is the demoniac mentality. Therefore, we should not think that anybody who has a little bit of mystic power is a great devotee or a great spiritualist or God. That's happening. There in India, there are so many such yogis, puny little yogis. Actually, Trinavarta, Putana, they are much greater than these yogis. Trinavarta, Putana, Abhasur, Bakasur, they could do wonderful feats. Like Trinavarta transformed himself into a tornado. Agashur transformed himself into a huge snake. Bakasur turned himself into a huge crane. Dhenukasur turned himself into a huge donkey. So this is how these people had their mystic power. But nowadays, the so-called yogis, what do? They produce a little bit of ash. Or they have fuzzy, big, long hair. And people think that this is God. Actually, people have become so degraded, so foolish actually in this age. But just to have some mystic power doesn't necessarily transform one into the Supreme Personality of God. What actually we have to see is whether one accepts Krishna or not. If a yogi with his mystic power accepts Krishna, then we accept him as a devotee. Or if a simple person accepts Krishna as God, then we worship him as a Mahatma, great personality. The sign of a Mahatma is that he becomes a devotee of Krishna. Mahatmanas tu mam partha Daiving Prakriti Mashrita. The sign of a Mahatma is that he has accepted the shelter of Daivi Prakriti. And what is the meaning of Daivi Prakriti? Daivi Prakriti means? Spiritual energy. And what happens? When one is situated in the spiritual energy or the internal potency of the Lord, he becomes a devotee. So the sign of a Mahatma is in his devotion to the Lord. But if somebody is defiant to the Lord, then we don't accept him as a Mahatma. And we don't hesitate to reveal his true identity as a cheat and a swindler and a rascal. Anyone who is not a devotee but pretends to be a spiritualist, he is nothing but a nonsense. And he simply creates disturbance to the society. Vrindavan Das Thakur, the compiler of Chaitanya Bhagavat, he wrote to those, that kind of people, I kick on their heads. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is writing in the commentary that apparently it sounds that Vrindavan Das Thakur is making such a harsh comment. I mean, harsh. He's saying something so crude, so harsh, that they don't expect a Vaishnava to behave like that or speak like that. I'll kick him on the head. The general understanding that a Vaishnava should be, even if somebody punches him on the face, he'll not utter a word. Yes, if somebody punches a Vaishnava on the face, he won't say a word. But if somebody is detrimental to Krishna, then that same Vaishnava will kick him on the head. And that is the sign of a Vaishnava. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying, actually, those demons will get delivered if they get kicked by Vrindavan Das Thakur on the head. Because Vrindavan Das Thakur is such a great personality, and when somebody gets even kicked by a Vaishnava, he is blessed. Vaishnava's kick can take him back to the spiritual sky. So, the sign of a devotee, a sign of a great personality, is that he is a devotee of Krishna. And those who are not devotee of Krishna, no matter how powerful they are, how rich they are, how beautiful they are, they are actually useless. All will disappear within a very short time. Their power will disappear. Somebody is very powerful, the world champion boxer, but when he lies in his grave, then he can't even defend him from the worms or insects. So that is the destiny of world champion or big conqueror. Where is Napoleon and Alexander today? Such big personalities. So similarly, all these so-called demoniac people who are wielding their power and opulence and beauty today will disappear in a few days' time. But what will remain is Krishna and his devotion. The only thing that lasts forever is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. Tahar bachan satya, tahar sevak nitya. That Krishna is eternal, and Krishna's devotees are also eternal. So in this way, when one becomes connected to Krishna, becomes eternal. When one is situated in the spiritual sky, then he attains eternal life. Because the spiritual sky is eternal, so everything in the spiritual sky is eternal. So as I was mentioning, when Ramchandra came, when Krishna Chandra came, pious people recognized them. But it was not so easy to recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as a devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu covering his identity. Channa Kalo. In the age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear covering his identity. He came as a devotee. Why? In order to teach people that serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. Mahaprabhu came and he didn't, like when Krishna came, he announced that he is God. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna is God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never said that he is God. But in whichever way you go, the demons will always take advantage. So, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not claim himself to be God, but people recognized that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in due course of time. Now, a group of demons appeared after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they started saying that he is God. These so-called people are God. This is, and their logic was, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be God, he can also be God. And one such personality is Ramakrishna of Bengal. There he came a few hundred years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about 100 years ago, maybe a little more than, about 150 years ago. And people, his followers, started to present him as God. And already people have become acquainted with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they say, simple people do not have the understanding. They started thinking, yes, he must be God. And he did not, his followers did not deny Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as God. They said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God and he is also God. And the other day, somebody came and told me that he also displayed all these pastimes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. So I said, what is the proof? He said that it's written on the book. So I said that they simply borrowed it, they simply copied it from Chaitanya Charitamrita. All the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been presented to him. So this is how the demons actually bewilder people. But if somebody comes to us, although it will sound very shocking, we say that guy is a demon. That guy is an agent of Kali. Now, how does one recognize whether one is in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that Krishna is God. Now, all these people, whether are they saying Krishna is God? No. On the other hand, this guy said, Krishna and Kali is the same. So I am the worshipper of Kali, and Krishna and Kali is the same. But unfortunately, there is for many years, there was no one to oppose them. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur opposed them. Srila Prabhupada opposed them. They give the example from some scripture, I don't know where. Once Radharani met Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. And the news was reported to Kutila and Jatila. So Jatila and Kutila came. Somebody said, see, your daughter is in with Krishna in Vrindavan. And then they went to find, to catch her daughter-in-law. Not daughter, but daughter-in-law. And they knew that some affair was going on. Their daughter-in-law was having some affair with someone, with Krishna, but they couldn't catch her red-handed. So they just got fired up, went to the forest of Vrindavan to catch Srimati Radharani. And at that time, Krishna transformed, they say, Krishna transformed himself into Kali. And Radharani was worshipping her. So they became very pleased because they were the worship, according to them, they were the worshippers of Kali. Now, first of all, this form of Kali will not be present in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Yogamaya manifests herself as Katsayani Devi. That is Ashtabhuja, eight-armed form of the Devi. That is not this devastating form of Kali. Kali will not be present in Vrindavan. And then our point is, even if she was there, yes, Krishna can become Kali, but Kali can never become Krishna. To have, like the superior can transform himself into inferior. Like the chairman, if necessary, can become the branch manager. But the branch manager can never become the chairman. Or this example has been given in Brahma Samhita. Kshiram jatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tato prithagasti heto jasambhutamopi samupaiti karja. Just as milk turns into yogurt, although it's a milk, but milk is transformed into yogurt. Similarly, Krishna or Vishnu transforms himself into Sambhu, Lord Shiva, in order to perform certain business. Now, milk can turn into yogurt, but can yogurt turn into milk? Never. So Krishna can become Sambhu or Durga or Kali or Brahma if he wants, but they cannot become Krishna. So, and these people are so unscrupulous, sometimes they themselves would not say that they are Krishna. But their followers will say, you are Krishna, and they will simply smile. As then, everyone will think, oh, so he is approving, this is a smile of approval. But actually their days are numbered. As Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, they will run for their lives. And that was the thing, like that was the case, like in the early days when the Vedic kings were so powerful, like if anybody spoke anything or pretended anything outside of scripture, the king would punish them. And that is the business of the king, to establish, to see that the dharma is protected. But in the age of Kali, adharma is spreading. And what these spiritualists, so-called spiritualists are propagating, eat meat, drink alcohol, take drugs, have illicit sex, gamble, do everything. But a true spiritualist will say, abstain from this thing. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex. That is the sign of a true spiritualist. In India, very boldly we announce that. That you can understand if a person is bona fide in his, if a person's teaching is bona fide, see whether he allows these activities or not. If he allows them, you can close your eyes and consider, call him a bogus person. But a true spiritualist will force you, will compel you to abstain from these things. Otherwise, what is the value of this teaching? If a person does, actually these are the sign, this is even the sign, just the sign of a gentleman. A gentleman in the Vedic society would not eat meat, would not take intoxication, would not indulge in illicit sex, and would not gamble. So if a spiritualist cannot make his followers into a gentleman, then what kind of a spiritualist? That's the very basic. One has to be a gentleman to be practicing spiritual life. So anyway, the point was that when, who is this Lakshmi Priya Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted two wives in his household life. First was Lakshmi Priya and then Vishnu Priya. So who is Lakshmi Priya? Lakshmi Priya is Mahalakshmi, who was Sita Devi in Ramchandra's pastime and Rukmini in Krishna's pastime. So here, Mahaprabhu's encounter with Lakshmi Priya Devi. Mahaprabhu was very, in his boyhood, he was a very naughty boy. He was very mischievous. And he would do all kinds of funny things. Like he would, but all those funny activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some specific significance. For example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to the Ganges. And at that time the brahmanas would chant their Gayatri, standing on the Ganges, on the river. And sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would duck inside, duck underneath the water and pull them by their legs. And this is how he would disturb them in their meditation. Or sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would splash water with his feet. And standing on the shore, he would just splash water with his feet. Now the brahmanas would get very disturbed, and even they would go and complain to Jagannath Mishra. But we can understand why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was behaving like that. The purpose of meditating on Gayatri Mantra is to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just in front of them, and so what's the use of wasting their time in chanting Gayatri? So Mahaprabhu used to disturb them like that. And he would splash the water with his feet in a form of blessing, like they all are actually hankering for the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and this is how Mahaprabhu is blessing them. The girl would worship Lord Shiva. The unmarried girl in India worship Lord Shiva to get a good husband. As I was mentioning yesterday, Lord Shiva is an ideal husband. So a girl's greatest ambition, at least those days, used to be to get a good husband. If a girl got a good husband, she considered that her life has been made. Her life has been successful. So therefore, they would worship Lord Shiva to get a good husband. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go there and he would take away their offerings. And he would sit in front of them and say, would tell them, that worship me. Actually, Shiva is my servant. So, and the girls would get very angry. And they would say that actually he was, let me read those. This is very interesting. When the girls, after bathing in the Ganges, engaged in worship the different demigods, the young lord would come there and sit down among them. Addressing the girls, the lord would say, quote, worship me, and I shall give you good husbands and good benedictions. The Ganges and goddess Durga are my maidservants, not to speak of other demigods. Even Lord Shiva is my servant. Without the permission of the girls, the Lord would take the sandalwood pulp and smear it on his own body, put the flower garlands on his neck, and snatch and eat all the offerings of sweetmeats, rice, and bananas. All the girls became very angry at the Lord for this behavior. Quote, dear Nimai, unquote, they told him, you are just like our brother in our village relationship. Therefore, it does not behoove you to act like this. Don't take our paraphernalia for worship of the demigods. Don't create a disturbance in this way. The Lord replied, my dear sisters, I give you the benediction that your husbands will be very handsome. They will be learned, clever, and young, and possess abundant wealth and rice. Not only that, but you will each have 7 sons, who will all live long lives and be very intelligent. Hearing this benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the girls were inwardly very happy, but externally, as if natural for girls, they rebuked the Lord under the pretense of anger. When some of the girls fled, the Lord called them in anger and advised them as follows. If you are miserly and do not give me the offering, every one of you will have an old husband with at least 4 co-wives. Hearing this supposed curse by Lord Chaitanya, the girls, considering that he might know something uncommon or be empowered by demigods, were afraid that his curse might be effective. The girls then brought the offerings before the Lord, who ate them all and blessed the girls to their satisfaction. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would tease them. And this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught everyone that there is no need for worshipping demigods. If we just worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then there is no need for worshipping demigods. Or everyone is worshipped, just like watering the root, we actually water the whole tree. Just like if you know the chairman of a company, then you don't have to flatter the clerk. Do you go oiling the clerk, buttering the clerk, if you know the chairman? You walk straight up to the chairman, and the chairman makes all the arrangements for you. So similarly, those who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they don't need to approach
anyone else.
Seeing Lakshmi Devi, the Lord became attached to her, and Lakshmi, upon seeing the Lord, felt great satisfaction within her mind. Oh, let me read the Bengali also. Tare dekhi prabhur hoilo shabhilash mon, lokhi chitte prito pailo prabhur darshan. Seeing Lakshmi Devi, the Lord became attached to her, and Lakshmi, upon seeing the Lord, felt great satisfaction within her mind. Sahajik priti duhar korilo yudai, ballo bhavachhanno tobu hoilo nishchay. Their natural love for one another awakened, and although it was covered by childhood emotion, it became apparent that they were mutually attracted. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Lord Chaitanya Mahāprabhu and Lakshmi Devi are eternal husband and wife. Therefore, it was quite natural for their dormant love to awaken when they saw one another. Duhar chitte hoilo yullash, devo puja chale koilo duhe parokash. They both enjoyed natural pleasure in seeing one another, and under the pretext of demigod worship, they manifested their feelings. Prabhu kahe ama pujo, ami maheshwar, amare pujile pabe obhikshito bar. The Lord told Lakshmi, just worship me, for I am the Supreme Lord. If you worship me, certainly you will get the benediction you desire. Purport. This is the same philosophy declared by Lord Krishna himself. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sujah. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. People do not understand this. They are accustomed to flatter or worship many demigods, human beings, or even cats and dogs. But when requested to worship the Supreme Lord, they refuse. This is called illusion. Factually, if one worships the Supreme Lord, there is no need to worship anyone else. For example, in a village, of a limited area, one may use different wells for different purposes, but when one goes to a river where there is water constantly flowing in waves, that water can serve all his purposes. This is a verse from Bhagavad Gita. What is the verse? Sarvato samputas samputo dake tavan sarveshu vedeshu. For example, when there is a river, one can take drinking water, wash his clothes, bathe, and so on. For that water will serve all purposes. Similarly, if one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, all his goals will be served. Kamo isto isto ito jnana prapadante anna devata. Only men who have lost their intelligence worship the various demigods to fulfill their desires. Bhagavad Gita 7:20. Lokhita ronge dilo pushpo chandan, mullikar mala diya korila bandan. On hearing the order of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lakshmi immediately worshipped him, offering sandalwood pulp and flowers for his body, garlanding him with mullika flowers and offering prayers to the Lord. Prabhu tar puja paiya hasite lagila, shlok pori tar bhav ongikar koila. Being worshipped by Lakshmi, the Lord began to smile. He recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam and thus accepted the emotions he expressed. Purport. The verse quoted in this connection is the 25th verse of the 22nd chapter, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis worship the goddess Durga or Kattayani, but their inner desire was to get Lord Krishna as their husband. Krishna, as Paramatma, could realize the ardent desire of the gopis, and therefore he enjoyed the pastimes of Vastraharan. When the gopis went to take bath in the river Jamuna, they got on the land and dipped into the water completely naked. Taking this opportunity, Krishna stole all their garments and sat down on top of a tree with the garments, desiring to see the girls naked just to become their husband. The gopis desired to have Krishna as their husband, and since it is only before her husband that a woman can be naked, to fulfill their desire, Lord Krishna accepted their prayers by this pastime of stealing their garments. When the gopis received their garments back from Krishna, Krishna recited the verse, Sankalpa vidito shaddho bhavati nam madarchanam mayanu modito sahaso satto bhuvi tumarhati. My dear gopis, I accept your desire to have me as your husband and thus worship me. I wish your desire to be fulfilled because it deserves to be so. Purport. The gopis, the girlfriends of Krishna, were almost the same age as he. Within their minds, they desired that Krishna be their husband, but because of feminine bashfulness, they could not express their desire. Therefore, later on, after stealing their garments, Krishna informed them, quote, I immediately understood your desire and approved of it. Because I have now stolen your garments, you have presented yourselves before me completely naked, which means that I have accepted all of you as my wives. Unquote. Sometimes foolish rascals, not knowing the purpose of the Lord or the purpose of the gopis, unnecessarily criticize from their own angle of vision. But the real purpose of Vastraharana is expressed by the Lord in this verse. Ei mato lila kori duhe gala ghare gambhir chaitanya lila ke bujhite pare. After thus expressing their feelings to one another, Lord Chaitanya and Lakshmi returned home. Who can understand the grave pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya chapullo dekhi preme sarbojan, shochi jagannathe dekhi dayan olahan. Seeing the naughty behavior of Lord Chaitanya, the neighboring people, out of love for him, lodged complaints with Shachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra. Ekdin Shachi Devi putrire bhatriya, dhoribare gela putro gela palaiya. One day, Mother Shachi, wanting to rebuke her son, went to catch him, but he fled from the spot. Uchishta gorte takto handir upar, boshiyachen sukhe prabhu devo vishambhar. Although he is the maintainer of the entire universe, once the Lord sat upon some rejected pot in the pit where the remnants of foodstuffs were thrown after they had been used for cooking. Purport. Formerly it was the custom of Brahmanas to worship Lord Vishnu daily at home and cook food in new pots. This system is still going on in Jagannath Puri. The foodstuffs would be cooked in earthen pots, all fresh and new, and after cooking the pots would be thrown away. By the side of the house there was generally a big pit where such pots were thrown. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down on the pot very pleasingly just to give his mother a lesson. Shochi ashi kahe kane asuchi chhuila ganga snan karo jai apobitro hoila. When Mother Shachi saw her boy sitting on the rejected pot, she protested, why have you touched this untouchable pot? You have now become impure. Go and take bath in the Ganges. Ihashuni mata ke korilo brahma gyan, bishita huya mata karailo snan. Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his mother about absolute knowledge. Although amazed by this, his mother forced him to take bath. Purport. The absolute knowledge explained by the Lord to his mother is described by Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur in his Amrita Prabhava Bhashya as follows. The Lord said, Mother, that this is pure and that this is impure is surely a worldly sentiment with no basis in fact. You have cooked foodstuffs for Lord Vishnu within this pot and offered the foodstuffs to him. How then can this pot be untouchable? everything in relation with Vishnu is to be considered an expansion of Vishnu's energy. Vishnu, the super soul, the eternal and uncontaminated. Vishnu, the super soul, is eternal and uncontaminated. How then may these thoughts be considered pure or impure? Hearing this discourse on absolute knowledge, his mother was very much astonished and forced him to take bath. Kobhuputra sange shati korila shayan, dakhe dibbo lokashi bhorilo bhavan. Sometimes, taking her son with her, Mother Sati would lie down on her bed, and she would see the denizens of the celestial world had come there, filling the entire house. Shochi bale jaho putro bolaho bapere, matriyagga paiya prabhu cholila bahire. Once Mother Sati told the Lord, "Please go, call your father." Receiving this order from his mother, the Lord went out to call him. Cholite charone nupur baje jhano jhan, shuni chamokito hoilo pitamatar mon. When the child was going out, there was a tinkling of ankle bells from his lotus feet. Hearing this, his father and mother were struck with wonder. Mishra kahe ei bhoro adbhuto kahini, shishur shunno pade keno nupure roddhani. Jagannath Mishra said, "This is a very wonderful incident. Why is there a sound of ankle bells from the bare feet of my child?" Shochi kahe ar ek adbhut dekhilo, dibbo dibbo lokashi angan bhurilo. Mother Sati said, "I also saw another wonder. People are coming down from the celestial kingdom and crowding the entire courtyard. Kiba kolahal kare bujhite na pari, kaha keva stuti kare anuman kori. They made noisy sounds. I could not understand. I guess they were offering prayers to someone." Mishra bale kichu hok, chinta kichu nai, bishambharer kushal hok, ei matro chai. Jagannath Mishra replied, "Never mind what it is. There is no need to worry. Let there always be good fortune for Bishambhar. This is all I want." Agdin Mishra putrer chapullo dekhiya, dharma shikha dilo bohu bhatsana koriya. On another occasion, Jagannath Mishra, seeing the mischievous act of his son, gave him lessons in morality after rebuking him greatly. Ratre shapno dekhe ek ashi brahman, Mishra kahe kichu sarosh bachan. On that very night, Jagannath Mishra dreamt that a brahmana had come before him, speaking these words in great anger. Mishra tumi putre tattva kichui na jano, bhatsan taran karo putra kori mano. "My dear Mishra, you do not know anything about your son. You think him your son, and therefore you rebuke and chastise him." Mishra kahe dev shindhu muni kene noy, jeshe baro hok matro amar tanoy. Jagannath Mishra replied, "This boy may be a demigod, a mystic yogi, or a great saintly person. It doesn't matter what he is, for I think he is only my son." Putrer lalon shikha pitar sadharma, amina shikhale koiche janibe dharma marma. It is the duty of a father to educate his son in both religion and morality. If I do not give him this education, how will he know of it? Vipra kahe putra jodi daiva siddha hai, sato siddha gyan tabe shikha byartho hai. The brahmana replies, "If your son is a transcendental mystic boy with self-effulgent perfect knowledge, what is the use of your education?" Mishra kahe putra kene nahi narayan, tathapi pitar dharma putrer shikhan. Jagannath Mishra replied, "Even if my son is not a common man but Narayan, still it is the duty of a father to instruct his son." Ei mate duhe karen dharmero bichar, bishuddho vatsallo mishrer nahi janeyan. In this way, Jagannath Mishra and the Brahmana discussed the principles of religion in the dream. Yet, Jagannath Mishra was absorbed in unalloyed parental mellow and did not want to know anything else. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped with exalted hymns by all the Vedas and Upanishads, and by great personalities through Shankha Yoga in the mode of goodness, he was considered by Mother Yashoda and Nanda to be their own little son. Similarly, Jagannath Mishra also considered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his beloved little boy, although he is worshipped with all veneration by learned brahmanas and saintly persons. Ato suni dijagala hoya anandito Mishra jagya hoila param bishrito. Being very much pleased, the brahmana left after talking with Jagannath Mishra, and when Jagannath Mishra awakened from his dream, he was very much astonished. So, this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastime to give pleasure to his devotees. And the last part, what I read, describes how Jagannath Mishra, even when he was told that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not an ordinary person, even when he, still then Jagannath Mishra admitted that even if this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Narayan himself, Krishna himself, still, he will chastise him when he is wrong, because it is the duty of a father to educate his son. So this is called the Madhurya Bhava. There are two mellows, two moods. One is of Aisharja and the other is Madhurya. The Aisharja is opulence, Madhurya is sweetness. So in Vrindavan, people worship Krishna. In Vaikuntha, devotees worship Krishna in Aisharja Bhava. They have the understanding that Krishna is God, Narayan is God, and they deal with him in that way. But in Vrindavan, Krishna is worshipped by his devotees in Madhurya Bhava. There, they don't care who Krishna is. Even if Krishna is God, still, Krishna is either their friend, Krishna is their son, or Krishna is their lover. And they simply want to relate to Krishna in that way. They do not want any other relationship. Their mood is, even Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, Godhead. The fathers think that Krishna is my son, the friends think that Krishna is their friends, and gopis think that Krishna is their lover. And Krishna's friends actually fight with him. They say, who are you? You are pretending as if you are a great personality. But we are equal. Because that sometimes, Madhu Mangal would tell Krishna, you are not really behaving properly. You are actually committing great offense, you know. Because you are not treating me, although you are a Vaishya, although you are a junior to me, but you are not giving enough respect to me, who am Brahmana. So this is how Krishna's friends would deal with Krishna. They would wrestle with Krishna, but they would do all these out of their intense love for Krishna. Their love for Krishna is so great that Krishna allows them to become his friends or his parents or his lovers, beloved. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. Any questions? Yes, Keshav.
The question is very fond of saying that people should not condemn ever, but they quote some words from the Bible. I don't think it's very much to say that one should not condemn people from other religions. So sometimes they hear that devotees, you know, they speak strongly about other yogis, you know, these tattoos and so on, their sheep. So is that a room for condemnation by the devotees, or is it?
Right. Okay. Yes, one should not condemn the followers of other religions. But do you call this religion? Some cheats and swindlers bewildering people, deceiving them, misguiding them. So is it religion? What kind of religion is that? So to call a spade is not condemnation. When a doctor goes and sees that his patient is being mistreated by a quack, then if the doctor says that stop taking his medicine and don't ever go to him, then is the doctor condemning or helping him? So we have to understand what is religion and what is not religion. If it is religion, then there is no condemnation. One should not condemn. But these are not religion. These are adharma. They are not actually leading their followers, guiding their followers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are simply bewildering them. They are simply misleading them. And it is the duty of a religionist to point out what is religion and what is not. I mean, a classic example is Jesus Christ. He picked up the whips and started whipping all those traders in the temple. Was he condemning? Religion? No. I mean, he was condemning the cheaters and rascals. So a spiritualist must be bold to point out, what is right and what is wrong. The spiritualist is not an entertainer that speaks some sweet words and everyone says wonderful and gives him money. On the other hand, the spiritualist, speaks the truth even at the cost of becoming unpopular. Who? Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune and Gayatri is the personification of Vedic mantra.
Mahalakshmi is a goddess of fortune. Saraswati is a
also gave him that idea of Ramanuja Chandra. I gave him that Ramanujacharya's theory to defeat Shankaracharya. 2-3 points that they gave, and he became silent. And then the wedding was over, and one day, actually Ramesh very much wanted me to stay there at that time, and he was arranging to get us a temple. What are you doing? Okay. So they have, as I said, it's right on top of the hill, right on top of the mountain. That place is on the mountain, and right on the peak of the mountain, there was a temple. It's actually Durga temple, and as well as there's a Krishna deity also. So he told me, he asked me to take over the temple. He said that if I wanted, he'll provide with everything. He'll give us the temple, he'll make arrangements for us to get the temple, and he'll give all the money I need, all the men I need. So he was taking us to show the temple. His son-in-law was driving. His son-in-law actually was also a very big man. He was the ADC to the general of Indian Army. So he was driving us, and some of the Mayavadi sannyasis also were there with us, and Ramesh's daughter was there. Daughter, son-in-law, and the sannyasis. And so we were driving up there, and then they started, he started telling that we call the Mayavadis the covered Buddhists. So just while you're just coming out of the car, they just, you know, made a comment like that. And so I just got back to him. I said, yes. And we call the Buddhists the covered atheists. So the Mayavadis are actually covered atheists. I mean, you pretend that you believe in God, but you do not believe in God. You simply, you are offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your destination is eternal hell. And I quoted this verse at that time, Jayanya Aravindaksha Vimuktamani. And then I also quoted Shankaracharya, that Mayavadam Asat Chastram. I said, Shankaracharya himself is saying that it's an Asat Chastra. So why are you giving it so much importance? Just take that real conclusion of the Vedas. And since that time, when they saw me coming on this side of the road, they were just... At the end of it, I said, why don't you come? Let's sit down and have a discussion. Let's sit down coolly and have a proper discussion. What's this childishness passing from corny remarks? And this is not it, sorry. So, and since then, they did not bother me. So, any other questions? Yes. Mayavadi. Yeah. Their understanding is absolute is subordinate to Maya. The illusory energy or external potency of the Lord is called Maya. The Lord is controlled by Maya. That's called Mayavadi. So how can the master be controlled by the servant? How can the energetic, this is the more appropriate way of putting it, how can the energetic be controlled by the energy? Who is in control? Like your energy is the controller or you are the controller of your energy? What? Right. So that's how this Mayavad is a useless theory. Hare Krishna. Yes, go ahead. In Padma Purana it is mentioned Mayavadam Asat Chastram. Isn't it? This Mayavad word, the word Mayavad is coming since time immemorial. It's mentioned in the Vedic scriptures. As in Padma Purana it has been mentioned Mayavadam Asat Chastram. Prachanna Bodha Muchati, Maniva Vihitam Devi, Kalo Brahmana Mustina.
So they don't recognize themselves as
Mayavada. Well, I don't know. They may not come. Who cares? I mean, they may not recognize themselves, but we do. Shripa, you have a question?
The difference between Mayavad and impersonalism?
There is a difference between Mayavad and Brahmavad. Both are impersonalist. But Brahmavad is positive, but Mayavad is negative. You see, Brahmavadis do not know the identity of the Lord. Therefore, they are aspiring for Brahma. Right? But because they are innocent, in due course of time, they may understand the Lord after Brahman realization. But Mayavadis, they think that Lord is subordinate to Brahma. Their understanding is ultimately the absolute truth is Brahma. Brahma in the mode of goodness is Bhagavan, right, or Ishvara, right? And in the mode of passion and ignorance is Jiva. So when Jivas transcend the mode of passion and ignorance and come to the mode of goodness, then jivas become Narayana. That's why they address the sannyasis as Narayan. Because sannyasis are supposed to be in the mode of goodness, therefore they have become Ishwara and Narayan. And the worst thing is that this guy, Vivekananda, he came and he said that at least the Mayavadis say that in mode of goodness one becomes Narayan. And Vivekananda says, Daridra Narayan. The poor people are Narayan. All you have to be is become poor and then you become God. And at a time of democracy, it gains a lot of support. Appreciation. Yes, he's a great man. He lifted all the daridras to the platform of God. Only by words, not by deed. And Prabhupada's argument to that was, that why should God be daridra? Why should God be poor? Lakshmi Shahasra Shata Sandhana Sepumana. The millions of Lakshmi Devi. Who are the one Lakshmi is the controller of entire wealth of this universe. Right? So millions of Lakshmis are worshipping Narayan. So why should Narayan be poor? It depends. Like, best is not to make a direct attack, right? But make them look like a fool. Let the others see that these guys are a bunch of fools. There's no need to just directly tell him that you are a fool. But in a roundabout way, you point out that, you know, they do not know the proper conclusion of the Vedas. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not really directly attack them, only in the assembly when he was invited. And they attacked him.